Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looney stops in the paint to Draymond. Handoff Curry. Deep three on the way with one on the clock. Back rim miss. Looney again finds Thompson. Loads up a triple. Good! It's madness! Just madness!
Dub Nation, it's Kevon Looney. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Woo! Game 6, 2022, Warriors-Grizz. Love hearing Tim Roy when that's where the voice goes. Love it. The last one you played when Ja Morant knocked the Warriors out of the play-in tournament a handful of years ago. Less fun, but that's where we are, folks. And it's a little bit nerve-wracking going into a monster game tonight. One thing that's fun, though, is we get to welcome someone who's come on the show a number of times, the River Islands guest line. He is a local guy and also the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. Eric Hasseltine joins us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Eric, how's it going?
I'm good. You guys teased me with a little mirror in the bathroom and then just kicked me right below the belt with that highlight. I remember that. That Looney just killed the Grizzlies that year. It was unbelievable how good he was.
24 rebounds in game 6 is how I remember it.
Yeah, he was just tough. He was just a problem. And, you know, look, I remember that series, and what I remember most about that year was the Grizzlies ended up passing the Warriors for the 2 seed and probably could have gotten a 1 seed, but as every coach does, you sit guys down. But in reality, when the series came up, I was like, hey, people realize that the Warriors should have been the 2. If Curry hadn't gotten banged up, I think that was the year Marcus Smart like dove and rolled into his knee and he missed like 2 weeks. That's when the Grizzlies overtook the Warriors. I thought the Warriors were a slightly better team, and the seeds were a little off at that time. But yeah, man, these are fun. These are so much fun. Just telling somebody today, coming home and remembering going to Oracle with my dad and watching Run TMC and, you know, going to the Buena Vista and being able to share that now with my colleagues and be able to share my hometown and then, you know, do what we love to do, even though now I'm on the other side. You know, it's like a dream come true. And to hear those highlights and just all those great memories, it's just a blast.
We love that for you. Yeah, Eric Hasseltine, for those who don't know, is a local guy. And so it's a pinch me moment for you. It's a kick us in the shin moment for us, though. Because the Warriors have never won one of these. And we've spent the better part of the last month kind of thinking that they wouldn't be here. But here they are. So I wonder what your thoughts are on that. Not that Memphis is happy to be here either. A handful of weeks ago, they were the 3 seed. But do you think that affects the game tonight, sort of the fallout from losing Sunday and the Warriors rolling their eyes and even being in this game?
I hope it lights a fire under both teams. So we see a game like we saw with you guys and the Clippers. And although I was calling a glorified G League game in Memphis that day, I raced to the back knowing that with the national TV coverage, I'd catch most of the fourth quarter, which was just terrific to watch. But I hope it lights the fire because, yeah, both teams did not want to be here. The Warriors made the Butler trade and they've been fantastic ever since. And the Grizzlies had the All-Star break were 36-18. And like, I was planning a vacation to Florida with my son to say, hey, like, we got the week off. Let's go down and, you know, ride a couple of rides at Disney World. And then I'll, you know, get you back up for your stuff. And then I'll get ready to go wherever we're going, hopefully host. And then you start dropping a game here or there and drop three straight last possession games. And so you're like, they may be in the play-in tournament. So, yeah, both teams are not happy about being there, but it's better than the alternative. And I think what you get is a game where if you go into tonight and think, yeah, you know, we'll get through tonight, let's see how it goes. And if it doesn't work in our favor, we can always have one Friday. That mentality, if the Grizzlies take it in there, the Warriors will bury them where they stand. And I don't think the Warriors will have that. You know, my fear of this night is, you know, if in terms of going the wrong way for the Grizzlies is that this Golden State team has that championship pedigree where the Grizz don't. And it's a relatively new group together. That chemistry has been one of the issues as to why they've been struggling at times. They look disjointed at times late in games against good teams, where good teams have that, I know where this guy's going to be, I know where the pass needs to go, I know I've got this trust in help side defense. It hasn't always been there for the Grizzlies. So hopefully that doesn't come to fruition tonight. And you know, it's just a well-played game where both teams go out and play with that fire of knowing we want to get to Houston on Sunday and play game one and not worry about having to win another one on Friday.
Yeah, and that's kind of scary for Warrior fans knowing that you're 0-3 in the play-in tournament. So it's been a little bit of a PTSD experience. I want to ask you about the last 28 games, Eric, because you mentioned the record at the break. 12-16 mm-hmm. since with a coaching change. What has made it so that Memphis kind of went sideways?
Most notably, the defensive lapses at times, big quarters allowed. You know, take for example, you go up to Denver and you're leading by five, and in one of the worst back-to-backs I've ever seen in 24 years of being with this organization, playing at home on an 8:30 tip in Central Time, and then having to fly to Denver where the Nuggets aren't playing and playing the next night. That's tough, but you know, no one's going to feel sorry for you. It's the NBA, and they just ran out of gas. But other nights where you give up 40-plus point quarters, they've given up 250-plus point quarters. The Minnesota game the night before, that's a national TV game, you're winning that game at halftime, and you're really outplaying the Timberwolves, although the score probably should have been more in your favor. And you come out in the third quarter, and you try to slow roll into it, and all of a sudden, they're not. They come out with more aggression, and that's been the Achilles heel, is the one big stretch. And you let teams get on a roll in this league and you're in real trouble. And Minnesota got on that roll right out of the All-Star break in Indiana. They had the same thing. The Pacers had a 50-point quarter, and you're just not going to be able to withstand that. So the defensive lapses, it's coverages where, as you guys know, sometimes your help guy gets a little too deep and then the ball moves around. And I mean, the Grizzlies, by these metrics, and I don't always get into the analytics stuff, but I thought this one was interesting when someone pointed it out. They give up the most open threes in the league, and it's not close. And when I'm talking open, we call it the 3 o'clock shot, where there's nobody in the gym and nobody around the guy other than the rebounder that's passing to him. And you're not going to be successful that way. And so that night that the Warriors came to town after the Grizzlies made the coaching change and the Warriors were in town, and you're like, I said to my partner, I said, Steph Curry could go monster tonight if they don't get to that perimeter. Well, they were aggressively trying to, but Draymond Green had other ideas with some really good screens, and Steph goes for 52. And that was the microcosm. Is now you're scrambling. Now the ball's moving. And this league, there are no secrets. You know, there's all that tape out there, guys. When people see that, oh yeah, if we do this, we're going to get open looks. Or if we do this against you defensively, which a lot of teams are going into a 3-2 zone and trying to push the Grizzlies away from the paint because they weren't using a lot of ball screens, it really disrupted the flow. And I think what's plagued this team during those stretches, to wrap it up, is then you got guys trying to make a play to shift the momentum rather than staying in the team concept. Let me go get a bucket. Let me help my team. And although it's rooted in aggressiveness and thinking like you're trying to help the team, it's not what the offense is designed to do. So they've got to get past that. They've got to put the last, you know, 2 months behind them, like you said, the 12-16 stretch after the All-Star break. And you got to go play one game. And tonight, truthfully, you got to play your best basketball of the year. They played really well a few weeks ago in a game that they lost to the Celtics. They played really well in the game they won against Detroit, but they've only beaten one team with a 500 record or better since the All-Star break, and it was that game in Detroit. Everybody else has beaten them, and so great that you do what you're supposed to do and beat the teams that aren't in the playoffs. Not great that you're not competing with the teams that you're going to face in the postseason, and that was where the concern was for a while for this team.
Eric Hasseltine is the voice of the Grizzlies and a local guy joining us here on Willard and Dibbs. Can we back up from all the points you just made?
Yeah.
Why did the Grizzlies fire their coach?
Man, if I knew that, I would be living in a much different neighborhood in Memphis because I would be in the upper echelon of the organization. I think, in all honesty, I just think the way it looked like the message had gone on deaf ears at this point. And I get along great with Taylor, and he's a great coach, and multiple, guys in other organizations would talk about how smart he really is. But if you're not getting the message through clearly, it's hard to keep that job when it doesn't look like your star players are on board with what the concept is. Now, I think the wheels were in motion when this team did something I'd never seen before. The front office decided they needed to go a different direction with the schemes. They let five assistant coaches go. They brought in a new five. One is now the interim head coach in Tuomo Asiasalo. And they tried to shake up the offense. They tried to get it faster and more spaced out. And at times, it just didn't look like it was connecting. Early in the season, you knew they were going to struggle in terms of finding the rhythm. And they had some losses where, again, big stretches where the offense didn't produce led to lopsided losses. But they also found stretches where they were blowing the doors off some teams. So I just think that as it kept progressing, there was a little bit of a difference of philosophy between two of the offensive guys they brought in, and the organization just decided, hey, this is the route we want to go. This is the message we want to convey. And at that stretch, you know, if you're pretty dead set on making a change at the end of the season, I get it. You know, one of the theories that was thrown out there was what happens if you don't make the change before the end of the season and you go win a couple playoff series, but you want to make the change. How do you justify that? And I always said, you shouldn't have to justify anything in the front office. You just have to live with the decision. You have to answer for what happened. But it just looked like they were not competitive for a little bit. And we were all scratching our heads that are there on a daily basis. And like, what's going on? Because this is not the group we've known. And so they pulled the trigger, and it's tough, but I feel wholeheartedly that Taylor Jenkins will land on his feet. He'll find another gig. He'll be a head coach again, and he'll be successful. And I feel wholeheartedly that the organization believes that this was the best move to move forward with the group they have and get them into, you know, learning this offense. If they do keep Coach Asiasalo next year, that you've had some time with him in critical moments. And now you get a test run to see before, you know, the other theory was before you sign him to a 3 or 4 year contract, let's see if this actually works. Let's see if they can get behind this. And if they don't, then we can put on a full on coaching search. If they do, then we'd have our guy. And so I just think the time in their eyes was the right time to do it. A lot of people disagreed. Denver said, oh, that's an interesting strategy. Here, right, hold right. Beer for a second. Let's go with what you did. We're gonna one-up you.
No, so trendsetters out there. Yeah, you became a trendsetter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what we were trying to do. That's what we were hoping for.
Yeah, I do think that the trial run idea, you at least get to see how it looks. And just watching Memphis from the outside looking in, Eric, it looks like a fast team playing even faster. How much does this help Ja Morant and really play into what he does best in the basketball?
So since the change, they've run a lot more high ball screens for Ja. And I think they're trying to maximize what his abilities are. Obviously, the people are looking and they see that Jaren Jackson was an all-star and was having a phenomenal season. His numbers have been down a little bit. I don't think that's due to the offense. I think it's due to Jaren basically rolled his ankle and fought to get back as soon as he could because he knew how important the games were and didn't just sit out. He tried to play through some pain. So I don't think he's quite 100% right. I don't want to speculate because I don't ask him about that and I'm not in a training room, but the moves just don't look as explosive to the common eye. And so I think getting the ball.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Ball into Ja's hand, getting him more comfortable, getting him back to where he can be that type of guy, that dynamic, break you down with the dribble point guard, was a priority. It's helped Desmond Bane. He's getting the shots he was getting before. And, you know, I loved what they were doing early in the season. They called it everybody eats. Like, everybody was getting looks. Everybody was getting touches. They had a game where they scored over 145 points, and nobody had more than 22, but 8 guys were in double figures. So, you know, everybody was getting those looks, and they wanted to go back to, hey, we were at our best when Ja was working, when Jaren was working, when Dez was working, and then you had two of the other guys step up while the other guys contributed. And it might be a different 2 guys every night, but those 3 were your stalwarts. And as you get to the postseason, you guys know it slows down. It's way more star oriented. You let your best players take over the game, and they win it or lose it for you. That's why they get paid the money they get paid. If you try to do it with the distribution theory of everybody contributes and everybody's going to get their touches and we're all going to be happy in the playoffs, that'll get you beat, and it'll get you beat fast. Because guys are at that level and earn those contracts because they're different players. So, you know, I just think that was part of the theory too. So now looking at it, you're getting Ja back to being Ja at the most critical time of the year where wins and losses don't matter. They're essential. You know, tonight is not a do or die game for either one of these teams, but I don't think anybody wants to mess around with a Friday game on the home court where then if you have one off night, then you're going home earlier than either one of these teams projected that they would be.
Yeah, and you're getting OKC even if you win it. So Eric Hasseltine, voice of the Grizzlies. Two quick ones before because I think this is what matters to Warriors fans the most. First, kind of handicap Steph Curry in this game because, as you said, they don't guard the three-point line well. He went for 52 just a couple of weeks ago. And, oh, by the way, the guy that guards him a lot in Jalen Wells is now hurt. So, yeah. like handicap Steph Curry in this game tonight, Eric.
Well, I hate to say that I can see it coming sometimes, but the night that the Warriors were in Memphis, I looked at my partner, Elliot Perry, who played in the league for 10 years, and I said, he goes for a minimum of 35 tonight. There's no way he doesn't. And a lot of that was not only Steph. The Grizzlies actually extended the defense, and Jalen, as you mentioned, was healthy that night. A lot of that was Draymond Green just setting really aggressive screens and playing it to the point where I'm going to do everything I can and push the envelope with whether you're going to call this as a moving screen or not. Until you call it, I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to take it a half step further the next time and a half step further the next time. When you let me know what's not allowed, then I'll know. Well, the referees didn't, and he just kept getting, I mean, he was beating up on Grizzly defenders, and I can't blame him. I think it's great. I think that's what you want your guy to do. So if I'm looking at Steph tonight, obviously, you know, a lot of people were concerned about the wrap around his hand the other day against the Clippers. I think he gets going, but I think knowing what the Grizzlies will try to do defensively, they're going to try to take that away. They may shift the coverages a little bit more with Jalen out. And boy, he's a kid from Folsom that couldn't have been a better dude all season long, just super mature for his age. That was one of the scariest moments of my career, that fall he took in Charlotte. And, you know, thankfully he's okay, but he's not available. So you've got to have other guys step up, whether that's Scottie Pippen Jr. or Vince Williams. You know, that'll that tale will be told a little after 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
You've got to get around those screens. You got to have help on the screens. And if you have Zach Edey on the floor, and they have since the coaching change had him more out there, he's got to really understand about drop coverage and where to go, because this Warriors team isn't going to put a guy down on the block where Zach can just go, all right, I'm guarding this guy. They're going to move around the perimeter, and Zach's going to have to figure out where he can get to and how he can help. Because if you're playing 5-on-4 against the Warriors, we might as well warm up the bus right now and get ready to head to the plane and get ready for a Friday game against Dallas or Sacramento.
And Eric, the other one is, what's up with these Ja Morant celebrations, man? Like, what's come on, man? What's going on?
Well, I know that these things are coming, and it's not. I'm not upset at you guys. That's what we do in this industry, is we talk about this stuff. The one where he got fined, I think, was him saying, I don't agree with the fine. I don't agree with why you're doing this. Other guys do it. And then to my audience, I said, hey, look, other guys may do it. Other guys were not suspended by the league.
Right.
For what he was suspended for. And I like Ja, don't get me wrong. I think he's always been great to me, but I think he's just had some moments of being young and brash and, you know, being out there and wanting to be, you know, the life of the party, so to speak, and be the guy that enjoys the fruits of his labors and how hard he works and his success. But, you know, as I told somebody, the NBA, it's not a right. It's a privilege. And if the league says, hey, don't do this, you can't thumb your nose at them and do it in a different manner. And now the next one is meeting with people's questions of why is he doing this. But hey, I don't see him getting suspended for whatever these is. I think he called them word bombs and, you know, throwing them like grenades. And I don't think that's as big an issue with the things we have going on, obviously, in the country with people's concern about firearms and getting in the hands of the wrong people. And if anybody understands that, we do in Memphis. We're not, you know, we don't lead the country in violent crimes and not understand that. But I think, you know, now it's a little more kind of it's a little more on the humorous side with these to me. But other people are looking at it going like, yo, dude, are you ever going to learn?
Right.
Are you ever going to learn? And I get both sides. I know the young man. I know he's not advocating any of that. But I also know he's like a young guy that's going, hey, look, you know, you can have me, you know, follow the rules and do this, but I'm going to celebrate and I'm going to enjoy this. And if you don't like it, then you have to make a decision. And whether that's the right way or wrong way to go about it, you know, I think that's for everybody to decide. I personally would love it if he just, you know, celebrated a different way and took some of the focus off of it, because I think it puts a little more pressure on him. But he could tell you that he doesn't feel any of the pressure and he's going to play the same way. And okay,
yeah,
then you do you, man, and deal with the consequences. You know, it's like the front office that drafts the wrong guy. Hey, I wouldn't have taken that guy, but you can take him. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you're the one who has to answer for it, not anybody else.
Yeah, no doubt. Fair answers. Hey, Eric, thanks so much for the time and have a great call tonight.
Guys, always great to talk to you. Good luck tonight, and look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Yep, thanks, absolutely. Eric.